It is that time of the week when we say hello to Sean Defoe. It's been a little while. Sean, good to talk to you, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? How is all?
We're good. Good to be talking to you. What a beautiful day here in the Day Show. What's it like in Dublin?
Oh, I'm telling you, it is. The sun is out. It is spring. Spring has well and truly sprung. We are finally getting those nice light mornings. You're not coming home in the dark. I love this time of year. It's great.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Well, now down to the business of Twitter during the week. And for anybody that has a fear of flying particularly, can you imagine being on a flight from Auckland and...
This is just right. So Auckland is about 8 hours from New York. There was this flight going to New York. It's not incomparable if you're flying from Dublin. Mm. And you know the way on those flights, particularly if it's an evening flight, you doze off. You watch a movie, you have your little meal or whatever, you take a bit of a snooze, and then I quite often wake up just as the plane is coming down. And you think, great and grand, you look out and you see the vista of America. Only the problem for these people on this particular flight was that it was after 16 hours. And when they looked out, they saw Auckland, the airport that they took off from.
Looking very familiar.
This is an awful story. For Air New Zealand had a flight running, and there was some sort of technical issue at JFK Airport, at the international airport, and so they had to turn around mid-flight, meaning in total 16 hours and 25 minutes spent in the air, only to land exactly where they started. And the airline, they basically have said that the reason, because lots of the flights were diverted, they were diverted to relatively nearby airports, some of them to Newark, which is very close, some of them to Dulles and Washington, which is only a couple of hours on the train, Philadelphia, etc. But they were saying if they did that, for whatever rules they have about international flights landing unexpectedly, they wouldn't have been able to get the flight off the ground again for a number of days, which would have impacted all sorts of other schedules and customers. So instead, they just turned around in midair, and those people spent 16 hours in the air. They did get €100 worth of meal vouchers. I don't know if that applies to the drinks cart, but I really, if it had been me, I would have made sure that applied to the drinks cart, because you would have needed it facing 16 hours on a plane, only to realise you're not going on your holiday at all, you're back home.
Oh, what a stickler. What an absolute stickler. If you have a fear of flying as well, can you imagine being in that scenario when you're thinking to yourself, oh, we're going to be down now in about an hour, in about a half hour, we'll be landed. And the next thing, you've another 8 hours added to your flight. Plus,
you know that little map they have on the screens and the Aer Lingus ones that shows you how far. And every so often, you finish up a movie and you say, right, I'll check that. Okay, right, we're going by Iceland or whatever. Then you just fall asleep for a little while, check and say, hold on a second, we're going backwards. How long was I asleep? What has gone on?
Sounds like an ulterior or a parallel universe. Let me tell you very quickly. I was on a bus from Dublin years ago, coming back from Yugoslavia, as it was at the time. I don't know how long it was, but I fell asleep on the bus. And I woke up and I thought to myself, I went to get off in Ross at the time, and I was looking at this castle and I said, oh God, that's very similar to the one in Wexford. Yeah, gosh, that's amazing. I wonder where that is. So it was Wexford. I was the last person on the bus, ended up in Ross Lair at the Europort, as it was at the time.
No.
Yeah. And more than that, it was closed. It wasn't 24-hour that time.
Oh,
the port
God
was
almighty.
Actually closed. Yeah, the waiting area was actually closed. So I went down to the beach and I slept on the beach, but I was then grand for a while, but the foam of the sea started coming in and I had to move. I went back up to the car park. I found a barrel. I got into a barrel. Well, half of me got into a barrel.
Kind of
long and lanky, yeah. And I put on my four shirts, three T-shirts and two pairs of jeans and pulled a towel over the top of it, and I slept there for the night. But I woke up every 10 minutes thinking, oh, thanks be to God, that's over. Only to realize it was only 10 minutes later. The bus parks literally about six feet away from me in the morning. I haven't too far to go. Thanks be to God, we got up and we're queuing up for the bus, and the bus driver ends up having a big fight with one of the guys getting on the bus because he wasn't prepared to wait for someone coming from the terminal.
Oh, my God.
So the sleeves were rolled up, all the rest of it. People calmed it down eventually, and we all got in the bus. Out the road we went. Halfway, I'd say we got about 10 miles out the road, and someone came up to the bus driver and said they'd left their suitcases on the tarmac in Ross Lair. And you know what? He turned the bus around.
Well,
he turned
the bus around.
But for someone who had slept in the car park and on the beach and woke up every other 10 minutes, this was really extending the whole thing. And he went back and he got the suitcase, sure enough, there on the tarmac. Then we set off down the road again, halfway there to between Waterford or Wexford and Ross. And he pulls in the bus, puts on his jacket, takes the money off the thing and says, good luck. Gets off the bus, says nothing to nobody. And we're all looking at each other. So what happens? About 2 minutes later, another bus comes along. They were switching drivers.
Oh, God, right.
Yeah. So when
didn't
I eventually...
say a word, so you were left there...
Oh, my God.
27 hours later.
That's it. So when I eventually got to Ross, I was walking home at the time, and eventually got to the homestead about 6-7 miles outside town up Walton's Mountain, and I meet my dad coming down the hill on the Jeep, and he says, you're back. I says, I am. It was a Sunday morning. He says, sure, you may as well go to Mass now. So I had to go to Mass before I eventually got home. But
that's what you needed, like an absolute hole in the head at that time.
Well, there you have it. But anyway,
reminded me of the, just very briefly as well, that one of it, the woman who left her thing behind, her suitcase behind. I remember a couple of years ago going down to something in Cork, and I was coming back up the M7, and I was almost the full way home. I was fairly tired coming back up to Dublin, you know, nearly a 3-hour drive. And I go, do you know what? I feel like I'm forgetting something. I had left my suitcase at the reception, and when I checked out, I simply walked away, left the entire lot there, had to get it shipped and couriered back up to Dublin in the end, because there was absolutely no way I was turning around and making a 2-hour journey, a 5-hour journey to get it again. But I had to do without everything then. I'd left half my stuff, including my laptop, in it. But sure, look, we got it eventually.
You make me feel weirdly better, Sean. I thought I was the only one there for a while, but nonetheless. Now, theme music. You may or may not recognize that, but it is the theme music to You've Been Framed. It's been axed after 33 years. Some would say they have been framed, but nonetheless.
This is sad. I'm really disappointed with this. I used to love You've Been Framed. And like, this was so much bigger before the internet, obviously, because the internet has just kind of taken it over. Now you just YouTube people doing funny things. But the home videos that they had to send in, the effort that you had to go into to get on You've Been Framed. You had to put it onto a tape, send the tape in. And they used to pay pretty well, if what I remember. I
think 250 quid, Sean.
250 quid. That was no slouch for getting a clip on the telly, you know. So they paid very well for it. And it was one of those Christmas shows, you know, like The Chase or something like that, that just is on the likes of an ITV or Virgin Media or whatever over Christmas, that you stick on and everyone has a bit of a laugh on when you've had a bit of a, you know, 2 or 3 tipples. But I suppose now it's all TikTok and Instagram and all that sort of stuff. We just see the same things only whenever we want them. Off the air.
Where are we going to send our VHS tapes now, I'm asking myself. Anyways.
But if you got a box, imagine you have a box of them in the attic as well, knowing you.
Well, you could be correct on that. Anyway, that's almost where we're going to leave it. Very quickly, your Explainer podcast. What are you on about this week? I haven't gotten a chance to pick up as yet.
I am having a rant about Roald Dahl this week. Wow. About the changes that they are making to his books to PC them, to make them more.
Oh, no.
Do you know what? I have no problem with updating books. If they don't make major changes, but they've done stupid things. Like they've taken out most of the references to colours. Like the coat that the BFG wears is no longer a black coat, it's just a coat.
Oh my God.
Like just this unnecessary changes, and all the references to fat has gone out of it. Augustus Gloop is now no longer a fat person. One's in one of the really weird one as well in Matilda, where she was reading Rudyard Kipling, who apparently was something of a colonialist, the guy who wrote the Jungle Book, and instead they've changed it to now her reading Jane Austen. So it's all this sort of little annoying changes that I think I'm very against. But you can listen to the podcast, check it out, let me explain where we get
great stuff. I'm going to have to do that. Sean, always good to hear you. Have a great rest of the week. Thanks so much for that.
You too, man. Bye.